For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
You get a special mitzvah when you learn something that's in the appropriate time. In other words, we always learn Torah because Torah is truth and it helps us in our lives in different ways, but we don't always know directly how it will help us. But when you learn something that's in season, like a fresh fruit that just tastes really good when it's in season. So when you learn something that's appropriate for the season that you're about to begin, it has an added quality to it. And since today we're at the Erev Tisha B'Av, the day before Tisha B'Av, there's even a view that some of the restrictions of Tisha B'Av begin before. It's interesting, we have a similar concept on Yom Kippur, where we have the meal of Yom Kippur before Yom Kippur, Sudas HaMaseches. On Tisha B'Av also, we have the meal of Tisha B'Av takes place before Tisha B'Av, this afternoon sometime before. There's a custom to have a final meal before Tisha B'Av where you dip some bread in the ashes and you don't have to eat the ashes or the... it's part of that reason is that there are certain things that happen in different times, and this is really the season for the for Tisha B'Av. And it's not a coincidence that it seems like sad things happen. You know, wars. You know, there's all things going on with trials and tribulations all over the world. Okay, so this chapter began talking about Yirmiyahu, how he was the prophet that was chosen for a rough mission. In other words, he predicted the destruction, and there are other prophets who had better prophecies to see and better, he tried to prevent it, and he did not succeed. He describes in this chapter how Hashem challenged the Jewish people, how they suffered and how they faced difficulties. He said that his world became dark and he felt like he was in a trap, and whichever way he turned, there was obstacles in the way, and that describes the situation for the Jewish people. And like even in verse 8, he says, "I prayed and my prayers didn't work." When a person is in trouble, it seems like nothing is working. And he describes, I think we did that verse 10 about, he said that there's a bear and there's a lion that are out to get me. It's like a person describes looking around for a solution and not finding any way to do it, to escape. Verse 11, Darki v'sorer, and the ways seem twisted. And everywhere he turned, there was desolation. Verse 12, chapter 3, which in this book would be on
page 113.
112 and 113. So verse 12 is like Darakasha. It's like he put me up as a target and he shot arrows at me. When people are really in pain, they feel like someone's out to get them. Like they almost feel like someone's aiming for them, you know. And all the troubles seem to come raining down upon them. Kamat, like they're the quiver where the arrows. Verse 13, Havi b'kliyosai, and the arrows like stuck in his innards, inside him, b'nei ashpaso. So he's describing that whichever way he turned, it seemed like people were out to get him, and he felt like he was hit by these arrows. And the Jewish people have always tried to survive and always tried to thrive in different societies. And whatever way they turned, they ran into different forms of anti-Semitism and different forms of challenges. Verse 14, Hayisi Schoch L'Kol Ami. And people made fun of us. They would laugh at us. They would scoff at us. Negino Sam, and they made songs about us. Kol Hayom, they're always singing... the Nazis had songs against the Jews. They said, "We're going to go to Poland to destroy the Jews." That was like the Nazi anthem. Was I think they call it the Horst Wessel song or something, or the he was the author, or the. And you'd think, you know, maybe that was then that they had those songs, but today they don't. But even the anti-Semites today, they have their own songs. 15. They gorged the chetz of shinik. They had to eat on the road, and they baked their bread in the dirt, and they would get little stones in their bread. And when you don't have a chance to, or they couldn't sift the flour. And when you eat bread that has little stones in it, your teeth break. And so it's like his teeth was grinding on the gravel. But he goes to Chetzeshina, Hikbasheni Ba'afer, and he was like forced to eat in the dirt and in the dust. This is where the custom is on the meal I was telling you about right before Tisha B'Av, where we dip our bread in the final meal. You dip a corner of the bread in the ashes. You can shake the ashes off, but that's the wanderers, Jews that were going into exile. They had no home. They were eating in the dust, and they were giving up all these challenges. Verse 17, V'tiznek mishalom nafshi. And I gave up on having peace. I was looking for shalom, like peace in my soul, and it was like far away from me. Nasisi tov, I forgot what good was. 18, Omar Ava Nitzchi. Now, a person really seeks for eternity. A person seeks to create something. We believe not just in the here and now, but we do things because we believe that there's a good things are everlasting. They have an eternal quality. And we believe there's more to life than just what we see in front of us. And they had sinned, and he said a person even thought they not only lost this world, but they lost the world to come. They had no future. Hashem was angry with them. Ava Nitzki, I lost my eternal link. The Tochalti Me Hashem. And when a Jew had hope that he would find, he would go to Gan Eden, a person hopes after 120 years that Hashem will say, you've lived a good life, you've done what you're supposed to, and you've earned eternity. Every Jew has a share in the world to come. But during the times of the destruction and they saw Hashem's anger, the person thought, you know what, that's it, I've lost it. I can't hope for anything anymore from Hashem. Hashem is angry with me. 19. Now, one thing that's important to know is that we get extra credit for suffering. When a person has gone through difficult things, we believe that Hashem rewards a person for that. And they say that after a person dies, he will feel bad that he didn't suffer more. Because when he knows the value of suffering, we mentioned that people that life doesn't come easy to develop into very good people, very strong people. All the people that we consider famous are people that overcame great obstacles to become who they were. Sometimes we can't point to our great achievements, but we can say to Hashem, "It's been a rough year. Look at me and see what I've the challenges I've faced. Zachor ani, see my affliction and merudi and my bitterness. See all the."
Excuse me, but didn't Yaakov get punished for saying that he had a rough life?
Yes, yes. So they asked that question. Yaakov complained to Paro that he had a rough life. He said that his years were difficult. And some people say that the problem was that you could see it on his face. In other words, you could see that what made Paro ask, you know, how old are you, was he'd never seen somebody that looked like they'd been through what Yaakov had been through. The other thing is, it's one thing to we're allowed to complain to Hashem. we shouldn't complain to anybody else, but to Hashem we could say, Hashem, this has been really rough. You know?
Okay.
That's okay. He does. That's no penalty for that. It's only to if somebody asks how you doing, you know, they don't like to hear, oh well, you know, this is, you know. but uh, But Hashem, we say, look at what we've faced. 20. Zachor tisko, remember that. To see a cholai nafshi, and this my soul remembers, and these things are recorded. And verse 21, Zos ashiva libi, and I take these things to heart. Therefore, al kein ochel, so I do have hope. Now we get to one of the themes that you'll see in Tisha B'Av also. As bad as it is, a Jew always has hope. As much as things are really awful, and they didn't many people gave up at that time, and they couldn't imagine life not in Eretz Yisrael. They couldn't imagine life without the Beis Hamikdash. They couldn't imagine living amongst idolaters. Now, in one swoop, everything was their whole world was going up in flames. And yet, at the same time, they didn't give up hope. I had a Rebbe, a teacher, that went through the war years in the labor camps in Siberia. He had the very big hands because they were swollen from the chopping of the wood. And it was funny because sometimes the weather would be really cold and the boys would show up late. And he would laugh at us. He says, you know, this was because Sam told us that his beard would sometimes chip off. In Siberia, it was so cold that it was. He told us at one point that how do you get through it? He lost his whole family, you know, everybody he knew. Many times he was with a large a group of boys or fellow Jews, and many of them died. Sometimes they were killed, sometimes they died of disease, and those years were very difficult. And he said that this pasuk got him through. This pasuk on 22. And I've read a biography of another really great rabbi who also had a pasuk. In other words, it's good. Life has challenges, and sometimes a particular verse strikes a person in a certain way that it gives them strength. And if they remember that verse at a time of difficulty, That keeps them going, and they just tell themselves that verse. And there's a few songs to this tune, and invariably at a gathering that he would be there, he'd have somebody sing this. And it's the following verse, that 22. Chasdei Hashem. Now, sometimes today in Yiddish or Hebrew, when you ask how somebody's doing, sometimes they'll answer that Chasdei Hashem, Hashem's kindness. In other words, now that doesn't, they might not be doing well, but they saying that I look at the good things. Chasdei Hashem, I look at the good things. But Chasdei Hashem, the kindness of Hashem, ki lo samnu. It never ends. That even when things are bad, there's still a lot of good that's being done to us. There's still a lot to be thankful for. There's still the kindness of Hashem just never finishes. Ki lo cholu rachamav, and His mercy also never ends. So they all ask, what's kindness and what's mercy? I think kindness means even if we don't deserve it at all, it's just kindness. It's just, you know, Hashem sometimes, we don't earn it, we don't deserve it, we have nothing to say. Sometimes Hashem just does kindness, just because He loves doing good, just because He wants us. And then there's rachamav, which is to take pity, which is that, we have good and we have bad, and we ask Hashem to be merciful. And that also never ends. In other words, so we have both of those, kindness and mercy, from Hashem. They're not limited. It could always happen. It could always be there. And we should never think, well, Hashem was angry with us. Hashem decreed this. Hashem doesn't appear to be. No, the kindness of Hashem, it never ends. It's never limited. There's always a source. You could always see that kindness. And there's always room for more of it to come our way. And so we should never give up hope, because the kindness of Hashem is never ending. The supply is there, and we should always, we can always ask for that. We can always ask for help from Hashem. That's this verse here. Chasdei Hashem ki lo samnu, the kindness of Hashem. Sometimes the kindness means that we always tend to look at what's wrong, and we don't often focus on what's right. And sometimes, I had I had my car burnt down last week. Had a fire and lost my car. So that was, it was a big thing because I still haven't replaced it, and it's a lot of work to get a car, and it's expensive, and this and that. But you know what? Happening this time of year, where there's people that are losing their children in war in Israel, and where the Beis HaMikdash was burned down, a car is just a thing, you know? So it really, you know, maybe it'd be wrong to focus on what's not right. And you know, there are people that are sick, and they have very expensive medicines, and they have very expensive procedures, and they have a lot of things they need. This is just a thing. Why would I want to focus on what's not right? Focus on what's right. Focus on the kindness. But unfortunately, we're all like that. It could rain outside, and we're fit to be tied. It's raining. I'm getting wet. You know, it's. Think of all the good things. Unfortunately, we focus on the justice or the bad things, but we forget about the chaste Hashem, the kindness of Hashem. They're always present. They're unlimited. And then also the idea that His mercy is always there. That's the first part. The second part is tomorrow's a new day. Kadashim lebecharim. You know, things change. Rabba munasecha. And Hashem is faithful. Don't give up. Hashem, never give up on Hashem. Hashem is, we have faith in Hashem, that we have much emunah. They say that the many people got through the Holocaust with the song of animamim, the songs of belief, of faith, because they have trust in Hashem. They know that somehow it'll work out. Chalkei Hashem amra nafshi. And I know that that part of me is my soul belongs to Hashem. Hashem gave me this precious soul. I have a spark of the divine in me. Okay, nochol. So I hope to Him. He's not going to abandon me. He created me. He loves me. 25. Tov Hashem l'kovav. When Hashem is good to those that hope to Him, He says trust in Him. But I think it means hope. In other words. You might say that we sometimes feel we have a lot of needs. And with humans, if we ask people for too many things, they get upset. Why are you bothering me? You're always asking me. But with Hashem, Hashem wants us to ask Him. Hashem likes to hear from us. So we can always, it's really okay every day to tell Hashem what you need. You know, give Him a list. You know, a shopping list. Well, I could, I could be feeling a little better. I could use a little more money. My child, I wish he was doing better. You know, this and that. I could have. But Hashem is good to those that hope to Him. Menafet tidrasen, those that seek Him out. Tov v'yachov. Things can be good and you can have hope. V'domim, but you need to, sometimes people get too impatient. 26, v'domim means like a person has to be quiet. A person has to have patience with the hope. Sometimes if people, things got to be fixed right this moment, they're not going to be fixed right this moment. But have patience. In other words, things are good and have hope, v'domim, and then just wait quietly. Just have patience. With Yeshua Hashem. And then the salvation of Hashem will come right away. And so it's really interesting, you know, at the same time when everything is terrible and awful and Hashem's shooting arrows at me and, it's dark and He won't hear my prayers. But I have faith in Hashem, and I hope to Hashem, and I know the salvation comes from Hashem, and look at all the good that Hashem does, and I wait quietly for Hashem's salvation. Verse 27. It's interesting, we all have a lot in lives. We find ourselves in situations, we sometimes never imagined we would be in these situations, and we all carry a burden. In Hebrew, the word for a burden is called a yoke. It's like cows or animals, beasts of burden. When they have to pull a plow, they have a yoke on them that forces them to. They can't just relax and chill and have. They carry a yoke. They carry a burden. And all of us in life find that we have a certain burden to carry. We have certain chores. We have certain tasks. So. He says here an interesting thing. He says a person will do well if he accepts that yoke, if he accepts that lot in life. It's often, again, it's not always that we have a choice in the matter, but it's good if a person carries the yoke. And he says, Menurav, even when he's young, when sometimes when people are young, they're not willing to carry the burden. They're not willing to pull their weight. They're not willing to accept. A lot in life is a person accepting their situation. 28. Yashiv adar b'yidam. And a person should sit quietly. Kinoto olav. If Hashem threw this on him, we don't understand things. We don't know why. We can't fathom why people face the difficulties they face. And some people seem to face an unusual amount of difficulties. It's almost like he describes, when it's bad, it's really bad. You know, like the people that have a sad situation, it's like they'll tell you some bad news and you feel really bad, and then it gets worse and worse and worse. You know, it's like but that's also a person's yoke, and a person has to, it's good if a person can accept it. Verse 29, Yitin ba'apra piyu. And a person should put dust in his mouth. I think it means that sometimes a person wants to rebel against life, rebel against. It's not going to help him at all, but it'll help him if he accepts it. Maybe there'll be hope. Verse 30, Yitin l'makeh ulechi. A person should. Now, this is not turn the other cheek. That's not our. This is that a person should accept the difficulties. Yisper b'cherfa. He should be satisfied with his embarrassment. There's an interesting rule. One of the big pains in life is embarrassment. But there's the idea that when a person, the embarrassment is actually one of the best forms of suffering. When you think about it, we all have to undergo, for whatever reason, a certain amount of challenge, a certain amount of suffering. And there are other kinds of suffering, whether it be health issues or problems with children, problems with the spouse. Those are really very difficult suffering that people have that they live with constantly. When a person is embarrassed, it's a feeling, really. And so there's the idea that that also atones for a person that suffers embarrassment. The person gets forgiven for his sins if he suffers embarrassment. Okay, verse 31. Ki lo yitzek l'Hashem l'olam. Now, Hashem, it seems like he's abandoned us, but it's not forever. No, in other words, it's he's around the corner. That's really the theme. Right now, things don't look good, but that's temporary. Ki imhoga v'richam karov chasada. Because Hashem, in his great mercy, in his great love, first come difficulties, and then he takes pity. In other words, there's a punishment, there's a time of difficulty, and then there's a time of love. Kilo inim libo v'yega b'nei yish. Because Hashem doesn't he doesn't harm people for no reason. It's part of a plan. It's part of what's needed. 34. You might think that ledake taka, he's just stepping on us. Kol asire oretz, like prisoners. That's not Hashem. Hashem doesn't punish for cruelty. 35. Lahatos mishpat gever neged p'nei elyon. And a person shouldn't think that there's no justice, that Hashem goes against a person, or that the person is denied justice. A person is never denied justice. If something is wrong, eventually it'll be fixed. La'avas ad merivo, Hashem lo ro. If a person is wronged in a fight, there's no such thing as Hashem does not see. Hashem sees, and eventually there'll be justice. Miza Omar. Now, sometimes a person feels like they're right, and yet the other person is on top, or the other person is winning. Sometimes a person wins a lawsuit, or sometimes other people are convinced that the other person is right, and a person has to realize that it all comes from Hashem. Miza Omar. Who said? Who is the one who created this world? Hashem Motziva. Do you think that Hashem didn't command it? And so also we accept that everything comes from Hashem. And once a person accepts that, so it hurts a person when there's something random. You know, when something happens and a person feels it's random and it's not right. But when a person realizes that it all comes from Hashem, then he can live with it. Mipi elyon lo teitze aros. There's no such thing as something bad that comes from up high. It's from Hashem. Isn't he the source of bad and he's the source of good? Ma yisonam anam chai gever al chasav. Why should a person... what do you have to complain about? And over here, there's an idea that you can turn to Hashem if a situation is bad. And this verse here is really one of the basic foundations of the Jewish faith, which is the idea of teshuvah, that if things aren't good, you have the ability to change them. And this is really the theme of Tisha B'Av, but we don't get to it for a while. And that is that we don't see it, that it's just a coincidence that we have Tisha B'Av in the summer and the 3 weeks and sadness, and then we have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Teshuvah. Oh, that's just a coincidence that you have one and then before the other. No, actually what happens is by going through the process of seeing what's wrong, then you fix it, and then you come close to Hashem on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and then you celebrate on Sukkot and Simchas Torah. It's all part of the theme or the process or the it's planned. In other words, So we're saying that it's so Tisha B'Av is all sad, and we do focus on tragedy. And sometimes a person has to focus on tragedy and has to accept the tragedy. But that's not the goal. We're not a sad people. We're not a depressed people. The goal of Tisha B'Av is to inspire us to make changes. And we believe it's a part of the theme. Hazorim b'dima barina yiksaru. If you plant with tears, you'll reap with joy. And so it's important to have a day of the year when we think about things that are wrong. And we think about tragedies. And to the extent that we, Chazal say, the rabbis say that the Mashiach was born on Tisha B'Av. And that means that from the tragedy will come the rebuilding. And the Beit HaMikdash had to be destroyed because there was a flaw in it. Sometimes you have to knock down the building to start over again and build it right. And so as bad as things are, that's a necessary process to rebuild and for things to come back even much better and much stronger. So here it's important. We actually finished the Megillah with this as well, but we say the following: Nachfusta Dorachinu. Sometimes we're doing things. The word Derech is a path. Sometimes we're going on a certain path, and it's like we're lost. When you're lost, you're going the wrong way, but you don't know it. But you have to look around and say, "Wait a second. Is this the right place? This looks wrong. This doesn't look." Look around and check your path. Make sure, you know what, let's look at what we're doing. Now this way, it has many times we're going on the right path, but we interact with a lot of people, and it could be that there's a certain person that we're going the wrong way. You know, we're interacting with him in the wrong way. We should show more compassion. We should show more love. Maybe they're right and we're wrong. We should think about that. We should think how we interact with people. We should think about maybe the things that we're doing. Let's look at our ways. The word kakira is the word that they use when they have witnesses that in court to see if they're telling the truth. And that is what they do with witnesses, is they interview them and they go back and forth and they make sure that they're not that the story that they say is being done correctly. That's called Chakira Sa'edim. That's to interpret them. What we should do is we look at our deeds and we look at them and say, well, why am I doing this? And believe it or not, sometimes we never ask ourselves that. We're some creatures of habit. Sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we sometimes assume because we're doing it and we made that decision that it's the right one. No, Tisha B'Av is a good time to look at our actions and think about it. And after a person has done that, after they've gone into their actions and they've looked at what they did, v'neshuva ad Hashem, and you can do teshuva, and we see teshuva like a person that's in the Olympics. If they want to run, they want to take a jump, so they start back, they go back very far, and then they start running, and then when they get to where they're going to jump, they jump because they have the momentum going. So we feel that when a person has sunk low, when he's made mistakes, he picks himself up from the ground, he has momentum. And he can jump farther. It's like he can go farther than a person that never fell. It's like I said, if you want to jump, you got to go back. And so a person that does teshuva, can they not be wicked or bad or doing the wrong thing, they can become holy. They can go all the way to Hashem. So it says that a person can look in their ways and they can see the path that they're going on, and then they can return, and they can, not only can they get back to where they were, they can get back to God, which they can go all the way up. They got the momentum going, just keep on going. Verse 41, Nas Levenu, put our hearts to our prayers, El Kel B'Shamayim, and to our Father in heaven, to the Lord in heaven. 42, Nachnu Peshanu. Part of that realization, though, has to come that we've made mistakes. If a person doesn't admit that they made mistakes, then they never can do teshuva. So first person has to say is that, yes, we blew it. Nachnu Peshanu. We definitely did things wrong. Pesha is the worst kind of sin. That means we did it on purpose. Umarinu, and we rebelled. Atza lo salakta. And you haven't forgiven yet what we've done wrong. 43. Sakosa ba'af. You made a sukkah of us of anger. You surround, the sukkah is like a small dwelling that covers us, hovers over us. So we've been hovered over in anger. V'titfenu, and we've been chased. Harakta, we've been killed. Lo chamalta, we've had no mercy. Sakosa ba'ananlach, we've been surrounded by this cover. Ma'avar tefillah, and our prayers haven't come through. Sachiyu mos tasimeni, you've made us disgusting. You've made us, people say, dirty Jew. It's a painful thing that you've made us. You know what's painful now is you look at the news and France is yelling at Israel, you know, oh, what you did is terrible. Even Obama got into the act. Everybody's saying terrible things about the Jewish people, and that's to be painful. Like, out of all the countries that exist and all the crimes that are committed, they're complaining about Israel. And but yes, that's exact. And not only are they complaining, they use really strong words. It's an unforgivable war crime. I don't know if you saw that they said.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we say here in Eicha. That, well, you know, it's part of the being in exile. That the Gentiles, they say terrible things about us. And where do they say it? In the United Nations. This word, Bekerav Ami, means in the United Nations, amidst the peoples. It means that. It's like they talk about it in front of everybody. He calls it among the nations. That's the place amongst wherever the nations go. They open their mouths against us and they say terrible things. Pitzu aleinu piyam, and they all open their mouths. Kol oyveinu, all our enemies. And pachad upachas hayolanu, and we have lots of fears. We have fear, and we're concerned about ourselves. Hashesh vashever, and we have brokenness and things that don't seem to be fixed. Palge mayim terideini, and my eyes cry. Now, this is also the part of it's one thing to look at our own situation, but we're supposed to also feel for other people that have suffered. My eyes cry rivers of tears. Al shever basami, on the broken daughter of my people. In other words, a person should cry on Tisha B'Av for those people that are suffering and that are going through hard times. That's also part of it. Eini nigra v'lo nidma. One of the reasons we have an idea that sometimes Hashem, when he gets angry with us, won't listen to our prayers, but tears he always listens to. So how do we get out of this? So we tell Hashem we're going to cry and we're not going to stop. That's kind of what he says over here. But crying doesn't just mean physically crying. It means it's a strong form of prayer where our emotions come out, and we ene nigra lo sidma, our eyes are going to cry and they're not going to be quiet. Meina fugos, they're not going to be held back. I'm going to pray to you, and I'm not going to be let all my emotions come out. Ad yishkaf, until Hashem answers, until he sees. V'yar Hashem mishamayim, and Hashem feels distant. He's in his intense presence is up in the heavens. He'll see from up there that we call out to him. 51. Sometimes we may not be worthy ourselves of Hashem's mercy because we've had so many chances and we haven't used those chances and we've continued to make poor decisions. But sometimes we ask Hashem to take pity on the young people and the children. Eini olulai lanafshi. My eyes are My eyes give me no rest, Mikol Benos Ire, from all the daughters of my city, of all the young people, all the suffering that's going on. So Tsuduni, now it's compared to like a bird being caught in a nest. They used to capture birds, and when a bird is caught, like he flutters this way and he flutters that way and he tries to get out. And here he describes like a person is like captured like a caught bird. Oy vachinim, for no reason, a person has been trapped. 53. Samsu bebor chayim, and it feels like I'm being thrown in a pit. Vayadu em, this is what happened to Yosef. He got thrown in a pit. They trapped me, they threw me in a pit, and they threw stones at me. Safu mayim avre, then they did the waterboarding. You know, the reason why waterboarding is effective is that it's a, when a person has water flowing on them and they can't breathe, it's very painful, very difficult, and a person wants it to stop very much. And so he'll tell the people, he gets disoriented, he'll tell them anything they want to know. So, we also, we suffered in a way that we felt like we had water flowing on our heads. Amarti Nigzarti, and I thought it's a gzera, it's like, this is the decree, this is the punishment, I'm stuck. But Karasi Shimcha Hashem, I called out to you, Hashem, Mibor Tachlius, from underground. I'm already in prison. I'm already from the lowest situation possible. I call out to Hashem. Now, the next verse, 56, should sound familiar. It's a prayer that we say before we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Koli Shemata. And part of that reason is that we also, sometimes we've tried all types of prayers and nothing succeeds. And we want a form of crying or a form of reaching out where Hashem will hear us and will change our situation. And one form of our voice, of a sound, is the sound on Rosh Hashanah of the shofar. So when the person reads the shofar, he reads this verse, this Koli Shemata. Hashem has heard my voice. Now, actually, it's not what you say, but it's the how you say it. That's the kol. The kol is the how something is said. Koli, he heard the tone of my voice. He didn't say he heard my words. He heard how I was saying it. And Hashem looks for that sincerity. Al tale maznaka. Now, Hashem, sometimes you can hear a person's plea, and then you say, well, I feel very bad, but I can't help you. So we say, no, al tale maznaka. Don't turn away your ears. L'rav kasi, hear my plea, l'shavasi, and to help me. Karasta biyamechra, I call you by day. Amarti al tira, and I said, do not be afraid. 58. Rafti Hashem Rivi, Hashem always fought my fight. Hashem always took our cause. Hashem is always helping us. Nafshi Go, he saves me, he's my redeemer. Ra'asi Hashem Avsa, Hashem should see right now the difficulties that I'm facing. See the injustices, the avsasi. See the it's not right. Shafta Mishpa, judge, be my judge. Do be the one that takes up my cause. Isi Kol Nikmasim, and see all of their evil and all of their hatred that they take against me. Kol Machshavosim Li, all they think about is me. You know that all the problems in the world, they blame the Jews. Shemati Chepasim Hashem, hear our embarrassment. Kol Machshavosim, see all they talk about is me. All they think about is me. Sissy Kamai, they Gyonamolai Kohayom, and they're always making plans against me, and they have speeches against me. That's all my enemies talk about. 63. Shiftim Vikimasim, they go and they come. What do? They talk about the Jews. They talk about what have Vita Ani Vigino Sam, and they sing about me, they make their taunts. So over here, we ask Hashem to punish those that have harmed us, that are destroying us. And as much as they were the messengers of Hashem, some of them are evil, like the Nazis, Yimach Shemo, or other evil people. So there's a prayer over here that, you know what, maybe I'm not so good, but you know what, my enemies are a lot worse. So maybe I don't deserve, maybe on my own I don't deserve much, but see what they're doing. Look, it's so evil, it's so wrong. You know, that Hamas, you know, they took all this money from their people. They could have built them hospitals and universities and playgrounds. And all they wanted to do was use it to, let's go make life miserable for the Jews. Let's go bomb their, you know, create these bombs. And so we say to Hashem, Tashir lehem gmul, give them what they deserve. Exactly what they want to do, that's what they should get. Titin lehem and degina slaves. And they should get, according to their plots, give them the broken heart. They should give them all my troubles. Tidra fa'af, and pursue them in anger with tashmidim, and destroy them, wipe them out, mitachash mei Hashem, and they don't belong in the world of Hashem. So it's a this chapter really is a strong chapter. Like it has, every chapter is, but some are longer, some are shorter. But you have all the elements over here. You have the suffering, and you have the accepting the suffering, and then you have the hope and the teshuva, and you have the plea that the wicked people go punish for what they did. It's all here. That focus, though, is really the challenge of Tisha B'Av, is to kind of see it, that it's a time of seeing the good things that Hashem does. It's Chaste Hashem, even the kindnesses could always be worse. And seeing what other people are suffering. When a person realizes what other people are going through, that's a prayer that we ask Hashem to hear, is when we pray for other people, when we cry on the tragedy of others, Al Bas Ami, on my nation. That's all for Tisha B'Av. I think the challenge is that we're far from it. There's a famous story that Napoleon Bonaparte, when he conquered the world, he once, one of the countries he conquered had a synagogue, and he walked in, and everybody was sitting on the ground crying. And he said, "What's going on over here? What happened? Why is everybody crying?" And they told him, the temple burnt down. And he said, "Well, what do you mean? My advisors didn't tell me this. I didn't know anything about the temple burnt." They said, No. It was in Israel. And, you know, actually Napoleon had a campaign in the Middle East, and he said, "I didn't hear anything about a temple burning down." He said, "No, it was 2,000 years ago." And the legend has it that he said, "A people like this will never be destroyed if they remember that they're able to be that connected to events that happen." But the point that I want to get to, I find challenging, is that emotionally people were able to bring themselves to tears on Tisha B'Av. They were able to feel it, and to pray with tears. And you'd walk into a synagogue, and that's, you'd look around, and, you know, I don't know if you look around, but people would be crying, and it would be, you would feel it. Today, it's not like that. I wish it was. That we're just, I don't know if we're too busy with our own lives. We're not people of emotion. It's hard. We work on trying to find a way to cry or to have tears. Rabbis and teachers try to think how to do it, but it's it was a natural. The Europeans, they'd walk in the shul on Tisha B'Av, they felt it, they cried, but that form of prayer, we know Hashem will answer, is if we cry for the looking at others, people that are in difficult situations. There are Jews that are in jail, there are Jews that are in captivity, there are people that are sick, there are people that are in difficult situations. And so part of what we try to do on Tisha B'Av is to cry for them, is to think about their situation. And we plead to Hashem because we have hope in Him. We know He answers. We know He will hear. We know He has kindness. And we also try to see if there's something that we can do, if we have to change our ways. We try to think about that. Am I treating everybody the way I'm supposed to be treating? Am I going in the right direction? Am I lost? So all of that's included in this theme over here. And then also, it doesn't, whatever we may deserve, it doesn't give wicked people a right to do what's wrong. And if there's somebody that's persecuting us, so we say that Hashem should also see that. We kind of accept our fate. We carry the yoke. We carry the burden. Now, when a person is able to stop somebody from harming him and able to do things to fix problems, of course he should do them. Of course we believe in that. But most of the time, or many times, there are burdens that we carry or suffering that we have that there's just nothing we can do about it. And so it's very important to try to use that as a means of prayer and changing that situation. And hopefully Hashem will hear our prayers, and this will be the last sad Tisha B'Av, and maybe hopefully speedily soon we'll be...
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, And if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.